The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. All right, good day, Tokens and Tokettes. Welcome. It is Monday, September 16th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, coming to you live from beautiful Cape Cod, Massachusetts. The sun is beginning to set over the bays out here. We're looking at lots of boats and million-dollar houses and amazing architecture. Had a little bit of clam chowder for lunch. I am feeling fantastic and completely ready to celebrate the freedom that we brought to the Boston Freedom Rally this past weekend. We've got videos from Boston Freedom Rally. Today's kind of a special show since I'm on the road. So we're going to bring you interviews with Chris Goldstein and N.A. Poe from Philly Normal and the Panic Hour, respectively. They've been involved in the smoke down prohibition rallies at the Liberty Bell. They'll tell you all about how they're facing federal charges for their activism, and we'll get the word straight from them. Also, Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey was there. He'll talk about the developments that have happened in New Jersey. We had our good friend Jody Emery from Canada, the Princess of Pot, came down, gave some rousing speeches from both of the stages, as did I. I've got a couple of speeches that we're going to give you. One, a front speech from the gazebo, and another one, a behind-the-scenes speech from the main stage. All that's coming up here on the Russ Belville Show. But before we get to that, we've got our 420 radio news. And today, I'm kind of combining the news with a behind-the-headlines, since we are kind of on a short schedule today. The FBI Uniform Crime Report for 2012 came out today. That's the data where all of the police agencies from around the country report their arrest data, their crime-solving data, all of that information goes straight to the FBI. That's where, year after year, we get the numbers of arrests for marijuana users in this country. Were more people arrested for marijuana this year than last year? Were more people arrested for possession than were arrested for violent crimes? You're going to find all that out when we go behind the headlines in our 420 radio news analysis of the FBI Uniform Crime Report numbers for 2012. All that and more coming up today on the Russ Belville Show. And remember, for tomorrow, I'll be flying back for Massachusetts, so we'll just have a repeat show on for tomorrow. On Wednesday, we'll be back with even more video from the Boston Freedom Rally, some great rock music from Tree that we're going to show you on the Herb Thrash or Flower Hour when we get back. So much here to report from Boston. I'm Radical Russ. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's yours?
No,
I... Your mother said she found it in your closet.
I don't know, one of the guys must...
Must have what?
Look, Dad, it's
Where
not...
Where did you get it?
Dad,
answer me.
Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
Parents who use drugs have children who use drugs.
Now it's time for our 420 Radio News for Monday, September 16th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Police arrested almost 750,000 people for marijuana in 2012. The FBI Uniform Crime Report for 2012 is in. Once again, police arrested almost 750,000 marijuana consumers, sellers, and growers, despite the passage of legalization in 2 states, decriminalization in 15 states, and medical marijuana in 20 states. The data, analyzed by 420 Radio News, indicate that 749,825 people were arrested for marijuana within the category of drug abuse violations reported to the FBI. Of those, 658,231 were arrested for possession, making up about 7 out of 8 pot arrests in this country. These numbers are virtually the same from 2011, when 757,969 reported marijuana arrests took place. Previously, during the Obama administration, there were 853,838 arrests in 2010 and 858,408 arrests in 2009. Analysis shows that the great decline from 2010 to 2011 could be attributed largely to the decriminalization of marijuana possession in California under then-Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was pressured into it by the political force of positive polls for the Proposition 19 legalization campaign. Without those California declines, the arrest totals have remained steady during this administration. It will be interesting to note the numbers 1 year from now, when decriminalization passed in Massachusetts and legalization passed in Washington and Colorado in 2012, will factor into the arrest totals for 2013. Members of the world's top organization of former cops and prosecutors who support drug legalization, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, or LEAP, spoke out about how the focus on the drug war arrests have undermined public safety. Neil Franklin, LEAP's executive director and a cop for 34 years, said, quote, "These numbers represent a tremendous loss of human potential. Each one of those arrests is the story of someone who may suffer a variety of adverse effects from their interaction with the justice system. Commit a murder or a robbery, and the government will still give you a student loan. Get convicted for smoking a joint, and you're likely to lose it. This is supposed to help people get over their drug habit?" End quote. Diane Goldstein, a retired lieutenant commander and another speaker for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, said, quote, "Every time a police officer makes an arrest for drugs, that's several hours out of his or her day not spent going after real criminals. As the country has been investing more and more of its resources into prosecuting drug crime, the rate of unsolved violent crime has been steadily increasing. Where are our priorities here?" End quote. The data show Goldstein's concern is real. There were more arrests for drug possession, 1.2 million, than the FBI's tally for other assaults, 1.199 million. There were more arrests for marijuana possession, 658,000, than for violent crimes of murder, non-negligent manslaughter, forcible rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, which totaled over 521,000. While violent crime is down overall, putting police resources toward so-called drug abuse violations can't help but divert them from solving the violent crimes that do take place. According to the data for clearance, which is the rate of arrests versus how many offenses are reported, less than half of all violent crimes and less than one-fifth of all property crimes led to an arrest, including an arrest rate of 62.5% for murder, 40% for forcible rape, 28% for robbery, 55% for aggravated assault, 12.7% for burglary, 22% for larceny theft, 11.9% for motor vehicle theft, and 20.4% for arson. These figures show how critical it is to end our nation's misguided war on drugs. We have finite resources to police crime, and these clearance rates should shock anyone seeking peace and justice. It is up to us, the people, to force our politicians to legalize marijuana and discuss saner regulation of all drugs in our society. This has been Special Analysis from 420 Radio News. Find our report at hightimes.com on tomorrow's website. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, September 16th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we are going to go back to the Boston Freedom Rally and show you my speech from a behind-the-scenes view at the main stage. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Pipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go.
I'm just overjoyed. I've been a cannabis activist for 40 years.
We are turning the corner on a failed policy that's been disastrous for our communities, and things are going to get better.
80 years ago, we repealed alcohol prohibition in this state. We did it prior to the federal government, and we're doing the same thing when it comes to marijuana. We are a step ahead, and we will continue to lead the way.
It means I'm going to smoke a lot of weed tonight! Woo!
Some call it marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ on The Russ Belville Show.
Some of them call it cannabis. Never mind. Legalize.
Turn left, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Third Left.
All right. How's everybody doing? But still, we're going to keep chugging along. We got time frames, and there's bubbles over there. And then there's people with plastic jackets that bounce our head. So give it up for all the people that are keeping their spot nice and clean. Give it up for Green Chicken, everybody. Also helped out by throwing around stuff away, too. I'm going to put it out there. You know, whatever. Coming to the stage now, a man really needs no introduction. We're very popular on the scene. He's all over social networks and internet media. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Russ Belville Show, please stand up for Russ Belville. Hello, my son from Portland, Oregon. It's great to be here to where it's free. But you know what? We're not free enough yet. I'm here with 420radio.org. We cover marijuana legalization from coast to coast. And I gotta tell you, it's a lot better on the West Coast than the East Coast. It's a lot better on the East Coast than the Gulf Coast. But it needs to be legal all across this country. Our local town in Massachusetts passed medical marijuana in 2008, but medical is not good enough. I have people that are friends of mine doing federal time in California, even though it's a medical state, even though she was a cancer patient, growing for other cancer patients, they still put her in federal prison. Medical does not go far enough. And I'm proud of Massachusetts passing decrim in 2012. Ain't it great that you passed decrim? Ain't it great that you can smoke a joint and know that you're not going to get arrested? But it ain't good enough. It's not enough. Police are still surrounding this park, waiting to catch somebody who makes a mistake. There are undercovers working the crowd right now.
Don't sell them weed. Don't sell them weed. That's still a crime. You'll still get busted. They're still harassing people. D-Crim doesn't go far enough. D-Crim still says, you're nothing but a no-good stoner. D-Crim says that marijuana is still contraband. D-Crim says that the cops can still mess with you because you're a pot smoker. And as far as I'm concerned, we deserve equal rights with beer drinkers, wine drinkers, liquor drinkers, and cigarette smokers. Oftentimes, my friends in the medical marijuana movement, I hear a saying that goes, I'm a patient, not a criminal. Well, I'm not a patient, and I'm not a criminal, and you're not a criminal. What we are is outlaws. We are outlaws, and we are civilly disobeying an unjust law. Reverend Martin Luther King 50 years ago in the letter from the Birmingham jail said, it is our moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. And any law that puts 750 people in the back of a cop, 750,000 people in the back of a cop car every year just for possessing marijuana is an unjust law. I have too many stories to tell you of mothers who have their children stolen from them. Daisy Brown literally had two suckling infants stolen off her breasts while she was breastfeeding them by cops. It's on tape. You can Google it. Google Daisy Brown, B-R-A-M. You can hear the audio of a woman screaming as her two children are ripped away from her. Why? Because of child endangerment. Child endangerment because she was growing a pot plant or two. Now, I can tell you a lot of stories where irresponsible parents leave their kids in a room where there's a loaded firearm and that kid gets a hold of the weapon and shoots himself, another kid, or an adult. I can tell you dozens of those stories, and none of them end with a child endangerment charge. None of them end with the children getting taken away from the mother. And for every one of those stories, I can tell you a story of a couple, a mom, somebody growing a pot plant, somebody possessing for medical use, where their children are taken away from them. That ain't right! And as long as marijuana is contraband, as long as it's still illegal, as long as we are second-class citizens compared to people who drink beer, it won't end. And there's only one thing that can change this. You! You can change this! We're going to legalize this plant. We're going to return to our hemp heritage. Hemp was first planted in the American colonies in 1611. 402 years that this country has had hemp heritage. Medical marijuana first appeared in this country in 1840. The Dr. O'Shaughnessy brought the information back from India. And it wasn't medicine until 1942 in this country. We have had recreational marijuana culture since 1900, when Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway were blowing tea and smoking gauge in Harlem in the Cotton Club. So don't let them tell you that this isn't something that deserves to be legalized. This isn't something worthy of fighting for. This is the civil rights fight of the 21st century.
Yeah!
How many people out there have ever had to take a pee test to get a job?
Fuck that shit!
Fuck that shit! I had to have my armpit hair shaved off.
What?
And my chest hair shaved off for a job I was doing already for 2 years with great reviews. 50 years ago, Dr. King had a dream and said that my children should not be judged by the content. They should be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Today in America, we judge people by the content of their piss.
Yeah, fuck that.
Nobody in this Boston Common, nobody in this Commonwealth, nobody in this nation should be judged by their piss.
Yeah.
You should be judged by how good of a worker you are, how good of a parent you are, how good of a citizen. Commission. Stand with us here on the common. We'll do this year after year after year. Yeah. Until we're legal all across this world. Are you with me?
Well, so much for my film.
Well, there you go, folks. Some wonderful video from the Boston Freedom Rally. Hope you enjoyed that. Jody Emery, Chris Goldstein, N.A. Poe, a bunch of others, Ken Wolski, all coming up next. Stick around. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org, live from Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Big Daddy thinks.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific.
Funky Roller Rink.
I like it,
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody. We are enjoying a wonderful sunset that's just about taking place here on Cape Cod. I can see the moon over my shoulder and a few of the cabins back there off of the sand. Seals are swimming by. What a beautiful place this is. But sound the alarm. It's time for some music. Loving it. We've got a sea alarm here right on our deck, and for today's Roots Monday, we're going to go back to the true roots of the jazz era, the cannabis culture as it started off way back in Harlem and New Orleans and Chicago and all the places where the great jazz musicians brought the love of Gage, Viper, Tea, Muggles, whatever you want to call it, to the masses. And nobody did that more than Louis Armstrong, aka Satchmo, one of America's first musical celebrities. He was beloved for 60 years of his career. Administration after administration invited him to the White House, and yet he was very open about his love of Mary Warner, of Gage, and how much it helped him with his creativity and how much it helped him with his musicality. So Louis Armstrong, basically along with Cab Calloway and maybe Gene Krupa, Robert Mitchum, some of the first people to be identified in popular culture with marijuana smoking. And because of that, that helped to slowly bring up a little bit more awareness of what we're talking about in the marijuana culture. We always spend our Mondays giving tribute to these fine artists who brought us the marijuana culture that we enjoy today, and none better than the great Louis Armstrong. This is Louis Armstrong with Sweet Sue, Just You.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are swinging Sweet Sue for you this evening, and we are featuring two good old choruses, and the second one is none other than the Viper's language we're going to swing upon you, and my little tenor man, old Geek Mouth Bud Johnson, going to sing the chorus for you. Look here, look here. Look out, son. One, two. Yeah. star above knows the one love between you. Baby, if you and the moon high knows the reason why between you is you. No one else it seems to share my dreams. Oh, without you, dear, I don't know what I do, baby. And this heart of mine.
Hello, Boston, Massachusetts, from a Canadian girl named Jody Emery. You may have heard of my husband, the Prince of Pots, Mark Emery. Mark Emery is an activist who sold marijuana seeds for over a decade to the American people and people worldwide. And he said, when you buy these seeds, I will give all of the money to legalization activists, political parties, ballot initiatives, court cases, and he did all that. He did that for over a decade, and the United States government went into Canada, stole my husband, brought him down to the United States, and imprisoned him here for political reasons. But I'm here for my second time. I was here last year in Boston at the Freedom Rally, and you guys have created something fantastic and beautiful. And I'm actually gonna move up here out of the band shell and perilously stand close to the edge. But you here today, are you feeling free? Do you feel free today in Boston at the Freedom Rally? You should. You should, because you get to be here, you get to get high, you get to enjoy medical marijuana, decriminalization, and some of the hardest working activists in your country. The United States, of America began marijuana prohibition. The United States of America is where the war on marijuana began. And the war spread out of the United States to countries worldwide like Canada, my home. The U.S. government doesn't just kill you, your brothers and sisters who suffer. They go worldwide. They go down to Mexico, into Central America, up into Canada. They arrest people. They shoot people. They imprison people. The U.S. federal government destroys lives in the name of the war on drugs every single day. And that is evil and unjust. But you, the American people, you are not evil. You people are good, decent, honest people who do not deserve to be punished by the U.S. federal government or any police or any punishment. You are not hurting anybody. You here today at the Boston Freedom Rally are demonstrating peaceful, honest, civil disobedience. You're being polite and respectful and inspiring. Because while you are here celebrating today, enjoying your freedom, your neighbors across your country are suffering. They wish they had medical marijuana. They wish they had decriminalization. And I'm sure everybody wants to be like Washington and Colorado and be fully legal as well. But the fight will not end. You have a responsibility here today and every day, as long as you're free, you have a responsibility to keep fighting for freedom. Because when you're locked up, when you're shot dead, when you are taken away from your loved ones because of the war on marijuana, you lose your ability to fight. So while you're free, while you're legal next year. Every single marijuana plant will be illegal in Canada next year. For the first time ever, Canada has mandatory minimum prison sentences for pot. Mandatory minimums. Your country has tried and failed with that. Your own states are saying no more. No more mandatory minimums. No more wasting money. Good grief, your federal government is even letting legalization go forward. That is amazing. It's inspiring. It warms my heart. Because my husband is in U.S. federal prison in Mississippi because he gave you the seeds and the money and the message to make this happen. Mark Emery, the Prince of Pot, said plant the seeds of freedom to overgrow the government, and the Drug Enforcement Administration took them home from our home, Canada, for that reason. They said that Mark Emery was so successful he had to be put away to strike a significant blow to the legalization movement. That is what the DEA said. But no, the American people said, back off, DEA. Screw you. Leave us alone. Stop hurting us. Stop killing us. Please let us be free. So you, the American people, you took your people power. You go and you vote. You join political parties. You write those letters, hold those signs, come to these events, give your money to those organizations like NORMAL, Drug Policy Alliance, Marijuana Policy Project. All of these groups deserve your dollars because the government is using your taxes against you. So you better fight back however you can, peacefully, honestly, politically. Get involved. Because again, remember that if you get arrested, if you go to prison, if you get sick, or if you get killed by the police, you won't be able to fight anymore. So while you're free, with your legs to walk, and your voice to speak, and your hands to hold signs, get out there and use your power. If you don't, you might lose it, and you'll be wishing and praying and hoping that the people who are still free will be fighting for your freedom and the freedom of all the drug war prisoners worldwide who are wishing and hoping and begging for peace. Take it upon yourselves. Take this example. Take it wherever you came from. I came from Canada in Vancouver, BC on the West Coast. I'm going to tell them, you guys kick ass out here because look at this beautiful event. But remember to give back. Thank the Boston Freedom Rally volunteers. If you guys see those green shirts, say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking a stand, making an effort, making a difference, leading the way, inspiring not only your brothers and sisters here in this state, but all across your country, beyond your borders, and around the rest of the world where everybody is waiting and wishing for drug peace, not drug war. And we're going to get there. Take a stand, get active, but for today, have a break and have fun. Thanks a lot for listening. I'm Jody Emery, Cannabis Culture Magazine, Pot TV, and my husband, my hero, Mark Emery, the Prince of Pot, in U.S. prison, home next year to help keep fighting this good fight. Happy Freedom Rally, everybody.
What do you know, folks? We managed to find an oil rig. The first one that I've seen here in Boston.
You want the Girl Scouts? I got the lemonades. It's hot, too.
Boston Freedom Rally, what's up? I come to you from Portland, Oregon. Bringing the wave of legalization from the West Coast East. Are you ready for legalization? Are you ready to end prohibition? All right, so I'm the head of 420radio.org. We are 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. We got grow shows with Danny Danko and Subcool and Jorge Cervantes. We got activism shows with Jody Emery and people from all over the country and all over the world. We got news and information shows because this is our time. This is our time. We just had the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Senate, talking about not if we're going to legalize marijuana, but how we're going to legalize marijuana. We're going to legalize marijuana. We've legalized in Colorado. We've legalized in Washington State. We've got 20 now, 20 states where medical use of cannabis has some measure of protection. 15 states where people using small amounts of cannabis can only be ticketed, not put in jail. But that's not good enough. I know people in medical marijuana states doing time in prison. Dr. Molly Fry, Dale Schaefer, she was a mastectomy patient, battled breast cancer, survived it, started growing medical marijuana plants in California to help other cancer survivors. The feds busted her and her husband. They'd been growing small gardens for years. So the feds added up all the gardens they grew for 5 years so that it would be above 100 plants so they could put a breast cancer survivor and a hemophiliac in federal prison for 5 years in court. They couldn't even say medical marijuana. And that's California. That's California where supposedly it's all hippy-dippy sun and love and everybody's on weed and loving it. And people are still going to prison. People are still going to jail. A personal friend of mine, Lindsay Reinhardt in Idaho, had the cops take her kids away because she was a marijuana activist, because in her state she was trying to change the laws because she's got multiple sclerosis and she felt like she shouldn't have to leave her home, her family, and her state just because she's sick. People say, Lindsay, just go to Oregon. And finally she had to because her own state cops took her kids away and she had to fight to get them back. So we've got a lot of progress here. We've passed a lot of legalization, a lot of decrim, a lot of medical marijuana, but it's not good enough. How many of you out there to get a job, either your current job or a job in the past, had to take a drug test? Yeah, I see a lot of hands. Had to take a drug test. Now, 50 years ago, last month, Dr. Martin Luther King stood at the mall in Washington, and he said, I have a dream that someday my children will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, in 2013, 50 years later, Dr. King's dream is perverted because we are judged by the content of our pee. And not the content of our character. I say that if you like to smoke weed, and then you get up in the morning and go to work and do your job, if you wake up and send your kids to school and take care of your kids, if you're a good person, humanitarian, then there's none of anybody's business whether or not you smoke weed, drink a beer, smoke a cigarette, like to gamble now and then. As long as you're a responsible person, you deserve respect, you deserve legalization. Stick together, get with MassCan, check out 420radio.org, and let's legalize it here in Massachusetts 2016. Legalize 2016! And now, ladies and gentlemen, the associate publisher of High Times Magazine, Rick Cusick.
Thank you, Russ Belville. Yeah. Hello, Boston. My name is Rick Cusick. I am the associate publisher of High Times Magazine. Number one marijuana magazine in the whole damn world, and we're coming up on 420. Anybody know what time it is? Somebody tell me what time it is.
417.
417, I got three minutes to tell you a little story. We gotta bring up a friend of mine. Get over here. Let me tell you something. The reason I'm up here is 7 years ago, I was busted on this spot right here for smoking a joint. And they put me through 2 years of hell because I fought it. And I think I'm made guilty. But you know something? In between that 2 years, they decriminalized marijuana in Massachusetts. And today, you see what's going on here? The same thing I got busted for is all over this place. That's what decriminalization means. What's going to happen here in Massachusetts in the next 3 years is legalization. That's where it's going to go. I'm going to come back here and do the 20 for you in about 1 minute. But first, I'm going to bring my really good friend. This guy's been smoking weed longer than you and me have been alive together. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Patrick Carlin. Hey, all right, all of you stoners out there, I brought my thing from 1972 out in California, man. Yeah, and they beat us 66-33%, but we don't give a shit. We're coming back, man. I've been on medical marijuana since 1969. I'm not...
We're walking through the Boston Freedom Rally, one of the paths. There's a couple of paths that go through the common here. And we're about 20 minutes before the first speaker starts on the main stage, which will be Eric Williams from Normal, Connecticut. This is where the Philly Normal booth is. You can see Chris Goldstein there. And then right next door, Panic Hour with NAPO. And Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey. This is Ken Wolski. Hi, Ken. Hi, everyone.
Hey, how you doing?
How's everything going with your fights? I saw you just got a law, finally, that you can have more than three strains.
Yes, we did pass S-2842, so we're not going to be limited in New Jersey to just three strains of marijuana. It's kind of unfortunate, though, Russ, that it took a national children's campaign and an act of the legislature before we could overturn even one of the regulations that have been strangling the law in New Jersey.
And what's the situation on needing three doctors for a minor?
Yes, unfortunately, that part of the law was conditionally vetoed by Governor Christie, and it still requires a pediatrician and a psychiatrist in addition to the prescribing doctor to sign off on a minor's use of medical marijuana in New Jersey.
And some folks might not realize, but New Jersey is the only state where the doctors have to register. And how many pediatricians have actually registered?
Well, there are about two or three in the entire state of New Jersey have registered with the Department of Health to take part in this program. And less than 1% of the 33,000 doctors in the entire state have registered to take part in this program. So finding a doctor to recommend marijuana for you in New Jersey is a real problem, Russ.
Do the doctors cite this registry as a reason? I mean, do they just not want to get on it?
Yes, absolutely. They don't want to. They don't want to put their name on a list as being affiliated with, medical marijuana. Unfortunately. And there's a lot of ignorance in the physician community, at least, about medical marijuana. Russ, they didn't really learn about this science in med school, to be fair to them. You know, the emerging science of the endocannabinoid system really didn't take off until the 1980s and 1990s. So the doctors really didn't learn about it, and there's no push to make them learn about it. Now, for example, Governor Christie just said pediatricians have to be involved in a minor's use of medical marijuana, but he didn't make the pediatricians learn anything about medical marijuana. Many of these doctors are still in the reefer madness days.
Yeah, unfortunate. So, Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey, CMMNJ.org. Help out, because of all the medical marijuana states, I'd say New Jersey's probably got the strictest regulation. You and Illinois are pretty much the strictest in the country. And I don't know what's crueler, not having a medical law or having one so strict that a lot of patients can't get on it. That almost seems crueler to me, that it's tempting.
It's very frustrating, Russ. Very frustrating. You know, so many of these patients work so hard to get this law passed. They spoke out about this. They divulged, confidential medical information about themselves. They put themselves at great risk, by divulging the fact that they use medical marijuana illegally in New Jersey, and they expected to be protected by this law, and yet only about 120 people have actually gotten medical marijuana in New Jersey in 3.5 years since this law has been active.
Wow. So, in the state of Oregon, we probably process 120 a week. It's just unfair.
Yes,
so unfair. Thank you, Ken, for all the hard work you're doing. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for stopping by, Russ.
You're welcome. All right, so here we are before the official start of the Boston Freedom Rally with NAPO and Chris Goldstein, federal scoff laws.
Yeah.
Tell them about your scoffing of the federal laws.
Well, about 3 months ago, I was arrested very publicly at Smoketown Prohibition, spent some time in federal detention. I have some very interesting things that I have to adhere to before sentencing. One of them, after sentencing, might be not being able to speak with Mr. Goldstein, who is now a two-time arrestee on
two-time scoff law.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, it's not scoff law. It's as Martin Luther King said, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. So what we're doing is disobeying unjust laws. It's honest civil disobedience, and it's the part of the tradition of American political discourse.
They killed him.
So
you know.
Well, you know, right now, actually, you know, as I say, you know, when Bo and I are in the same space at the same time, the two drones that are assigned to us right now are crashing over our heads. So we've got a little time before they get a camera on us again from satellite. But yeah, you know, watching the U.S. attorney come after us, you know, for protesting in front of the Liberty Bell, what they did to Rich, and you know what they've done out here is absolutely atrocious. I mean, you know, having Poe on stage, having these guys on stage at the First Amendment in front of the Liberty Bell get tackled by law enforcement, and you know, even me at Occupy, you know, where Poe and I met at Occupy Philadelphia. Believe me, we've seen armies of police come out to protest before.
Don't even sweat it anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
But the idea, you know, we're used to the police coming out with zip ties and pepper spray, but these officers came out to the Liberty Bell for a bunch of Americans who declared their intention to smoke a joint, armed with real weapons and tactical gear. I mean, it's not a dangerous act to smoke a joint. You see that in Portland. That's so funny, Russ, you know, seeing you guys come in from the West Coast, you know, enter the cage of prohibition here on the East, you know. I mean, honestly, you know, for the environment, it really is a different planet. And the idea that we're part of the same country, and you know, you have a level of freedom that, you know, we can see that we won't enjoy that. You know, while you guys enjoy ballot processes, New Jersey and Pennsylvania, we don't have that option. I mean, we have to wait for these politicians to come around. But that's why what is happening to Poe and me and Don DeZarn, who's a Libertarian Senate candidate, who's also a two-time civil disobedient at this point. Don and I are in court. You know, Poe has sentencing. What the U.S. attorney, what he's referring to is that at the U.S. attorney's request, they are really coming down hard on the event itself. They are attempting to target...
It's flattering a little bit.
Well, in a way, but in a way they don't have a great understanding of this. The event and the movement are far bigger than we are. And the truth is in Philadelphia, there is a tradition of civil disobedience that people are really strong into. There is probably no better place to protest federal law, and apparently we've got their attention. The recent memo from Cole has a line in it that says, you know, the U.S. Attorney General has never specifically said we're going to enforce possession and use on federal land.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to look up N.A. Poe gets arrested on May 18th to see what they mean by that, because the truth is right there in those images. What they did to you is horrible.
Yeah, and I still believe in America because I created the panic hour in my dad's basement, and now the federal government reads my Facebook posts.
Yeah.
So I was like, you can still go from rags to riches in this country.
Well, you know, how are you feeling about, you know, sentencing on the 24th? Confident with your, you know... He has an assigned defender from you know, this is federal court, folks. This is not a municipal court for some little citation. What they have run him up on is, you know, felony charges. And now at this point, they're pleading the sentence to give him lesser stuff. And it's no joke. Again, for 2 years, they're seeking to have him have no contact with anyone else arrested at Smoketown Prohibition.
Yeah. It's like all my friends.
Talk about your freedom of assembly and you know, this is disturbing also because what we've heard is the mantra from the feds all this time, you know, ever since the beginning of the medical marijuana movement was, well, we're not interested in going after users, after the individual small-time possessors.
Yeah. Well, but again...
there he is!
The picture they're painting of Poe, at least, and what I expect to be painted of me and Don is that the true offense here is that we're calling for others to come out and join us in civil disobedience.
No.
And again, there's nothing illegal about that either. You know, to be civilly disobedient and to call for civil disobedience in the name of a political cause is indeed our First Amendment right.
Yep.
And, you know, we should never stand to see those liberties taken away. And, you know, when people talk about what's going on today with the NSA, hey, folks, the DEA really wrote the book on wiretapping, folks.
Yeah.
And, you know, the drug war has softened America up to all the violations of liberties, all the violations of security. and everything that we experience today.
It's like
and if, you know, I was going to say, if we ever want to take this stuff back, marijuana legalization nationally, federally, and taking this stuff on and exposing what they do in this and what they do. We have a massive militarized operation with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the National Park Service, the Department of Homeland Security, SEPTA, which is the local transit police, Philadelphia police. I mean, all this multi-agency, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and they come out to and tackle a comedian activist for smoking a joint.
It's like we're the Gambino crime family.
Indeed,
that's called a closer.
The Gambinos. That's copyright. Don't be stealing that.
A gang, you know, and it is true. Look, you know, look at what the government feels is dangerous. The message of freedom is dangerous. And that really is true. They're feeling the momentum from the West Coast. It's getting so close to Washington. They've got medical marijuana dispensaries up the street from Congress now.
Yeah. It's a tidal wave, federal government, ride it. Ride it, sure.
So, you know, I mean, so how you feeling now with public?
Well, I feel like, you know, they're not going to be able to stop this movement, Chris. And if they can sideline what I'm doing, you know, and if they really think that I have them that much power, they're going to see how much power I don't have when the power of the people speaks to the Liberty Bell.
Absolutely. Now, you know, even if it is unfortunately successful, if the federal government stands in the way of our individual ability to participate in this event, it's going to go on without us. I mean, the truth is, they'd be better off stopping their effort to keep us away from it, because quite frankly, we've kept it, you know, we have a conversation with everybody there. It's really well organized, I feel, and our relationship there has been good. So, you know, we camped out for Occupy 1776. Poe and I were out there on that same site with a tent, with a lot of the same ranger.
Yeah, you started that, so I could technically tie all my troubles back to you.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all your fault, Chris.
Thank you. And that's directly to Zane David Meminger and Dan Goldberg, the U.S. attorneys there in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania.
Dan.
Who are watching this show.
Richard Goldberg.
So, in some ways, though, these cases are, not many people get arrested for simple possession of marijuana by the federal government. So we'll see what happens. You know, I'm retaining an attorney, so I can't really announce who he is until next week, but I'm really confident that I'm going to have an excellent representation. So will Don DeZarn. You know, Don and I are in this together, and, you know, he's been at all of our protests, running for office, something I've never done and probably won't ever.
Weed Man 2.0.
Yeah, and Don deserves a lot of credit, and, you know, we're in this together, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. I hate to say I'm looking forward to it because of the circumstances.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see the outcome for sure.
All right. Well, folks, check out NAPO on the Panic Hour. Panic Hour, thepanichour.com. We'll get that on replays on 420 Radio as soon as we can. PhillyNormal.org. Normal NJ.
I think that, you know what? Normal New Jersey is here today. I think they have a new website.
We'll
check them
out
on Facebook. And definitely check out FreedomIsGreen.com.
FreedomIsGreen.com. Hey, we're here at the Boston Freedom Rally. We'll see y'all later.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Thanks, bro. Good, man. Ooh, baby, hey. Yeah.
All right, folks. That's about all the time we've got here for our report at Cape Cod. I hope you enjoyed our audio, at least. We'll try to get the video fixed for you for the replays coming up in 3 hours. I'll just stitch together the raw video for you, and you'll be able to watch the videos on the replay throughout the rest of the playing day until tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have replays on the show because I will be in flight on my way back from Massachusetts to come back to the studio. So we'll just have a replay show on tomorrow. I'll try and replay this one. We'll see if we can replay this one for more people to get a chance to see some of those excellent videos that we shot. Big thanks to Mass Can Normal and especially Kara Crab Burnham out there with Mass Can Normal, who really helped the show by providing us a place to stay over the weekend. Also want to give a shout out to David Kowalski from Cannabis Network Radio out there, cannetradio.com, who helped me as well with some lodging and some transportation issues that we had while we were out there in Massachusetts. The Boston Freedom Rally was a huge success. I've got a whole bunch of photos posted up on my Facebook page at facebook.com/radicalruss. You can check my tweets at Radical Russ on Twitter as well. Thanks for joining us here at the Russ Belville Show. And again, I apologize for the technical issues we've had over the weekend. There was a A lot of things that need to be fixed, but we'll be back in town on Wednesday to fix them. Stay tuned for new shows, and coming up next, Coral Reefer, who we saw in Boston as well. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Bomb, bomb, bomb.